You're listening to Fantasy Nightcap, a Fantasy Football Astronauts production, with your hosts, Fox and Shane.
Welcome to the Fantasy Nightcap's inaugural live stream and the first ever live stream for the Fantasy Football Astronauts. I will be your host and bartender tonight, Shane. You can find me at on Twitter at FFShaneB. Make sure you follow the show at Fantasy Nightcap and our co-host and loving co-host who is still out on, we'll call it paternity leave with his little lovely triplets. Fox,
well-earned paternity leave.
Yeah, definitely. At Carbon Fox F underscore FF. Tonight we are doing a mocktail party and doing a four-round rookie mock, and I've got some of my best friends on Twitter here with me. So I'm just going to start introducing them from my right to left and down. So first we've got Nick Sarnelli, Marco from 14 Personnel, Josh from Front Yard Fantasy, Eagle Dan Turner, and Jay at G-Man Jay. Both of those last two, I would love to congratulate here for getting accepted into Roto Underworld as writers. Great. So congrats, guys.
Thank you, guys. Much appreciated. Awesome.
How's everyone doing tonight?
Good.
Better hanging out with you guys.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, excited to get into some mock drafting.
Yeah, pretty let's do good. It. All right, cheers. You guys literally all just took a sip like So you led me right into my first question. That is always my first question on the pod. What's everyone drinking tonight? Nick, you can start.
Had a shot at Patron before going live, and now just some water.
Very nice.
Yeah, I got water, but then Nick tried to hustle me in, so I got some bullet here that I went in on.
My man.
Very nice. Josh, what you drinking?
So I got a hazy little thing. That's the name of it, actually. Ooh, it's called an IPA.
Good one, I'm pretty sure.
It's so good. Sierra Nevada, I highly recommend it if you like IPAs. I also had a shot of tequila because tequila is the show.
That is what Josh does before every show, basically.
Not every show.
What
every
I've
show
been told.
We have a guest.
What I've been told. Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me.
I love it. Dan, what you drinking?
I'm drinking some whiskey and Sprite.
That's an interesting combo.
Never should try it. Everyone should try it. It's really good.
So it's funny that you mentioned that because my dad has always told me you mix like drinks. So vodka, Sprite, whiskey, Coke, etc. But one of my favorite drinks in college was actually vodka and Coke. So
just kind of reverse that and try
exactly.
It.
Really? Yeah. So now it wasn't. Typically, I was drinking like raspberry vodka and Coke, so it mixed a little better, but that's my personal choice. Jay, last but not least, what you drinking?
A little vodka seltzer with a splash of lime.
Very nice. I'm lame like Nick and just drinking some Gatorade.
Nothing wrong with that.
Not at all. Trying to make healthier choices. So with that in mind for what everyone's drinking, you guys ready to get some mocking on?
Let's do it.
All right. So I'm going to share my screen with everybody. And here we go. If it's going to let me. There we go.
I love rookies.
Do you now?
I do. I get pumped every year around this time. Man, the draft's coming up. Let's go.
Perfect. Okay. So let me actually start this thing. And then, Dan, you are up. So we've got a 2-minute timer. Everyone can start drafting.
All right.
Don't screw it up, Dan.
I won't.
Don't blow it, Dan.
I almost hit Mac Jones.
Oh my God.
No, I'm sorry, Trevor. No, it's Trevor Lawrence.
And this is super flex, right?
Yes, this is a super flex mock, rookie mock. We've got Dan picking at the 101, then two computers, and then Jay picking at the 104, and then a computer in between myself and Jay, and I'm on the clock at 106. Goodness gracious, I got to try and figure out who is there. Oh, I know who I'm taking. Okay, so as we kind of move through this is going a lot quicker than I expected. Dan, talk a little bit about your pick of Trevor Lawrence for me.
Well, this, I mean, for Superflex, it's an easy pick. It's the 101. He's the best rookie QB to come out, you know, in a long, long time. So it's just a pretty basic, you know, pick here. It's not too much, too many other options to consider.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked.
I was a little shocked from our pre-show conversation, but I like the pick.
Listen, I am never doing that, fake or not. Never gonna.
Jay, you went Ja'Marr Chase at 104. I think that's kind of interesting in a super flex, but I love it at the same time. I think he's the best wide receiver prospect. Talk to me, baby. Why'd you pick him there?
So part of the reason is since we've got a computer drafting for 2 and 3, I think Justin Fields would be gone in most drafts at the 4. So I'm trying to build a team how I would actually build a team in a rookie draft. So I would think that it would be between Najee Harris and Ja'Marr Chase at 4. And if it were me, I would go Lawrence, Fields, Harris, and Chase. So that's just how I see it in my head, because if I was in the 3 spot, I'm a running back heavy guy. So I think he's going to be the best player that's available on the board at 104 in most rookie drafts.
Yeah, no, I like your train of thought there. I agree with you on those first 5 picks. I'm hoping that's also true, because then that makes my pick of Zach Wilson at 6 more legitimate. I love Zach Wilson from what I've watched on the Fantasy Football Astronauts film room.
Which is fantastic, by the way. I was not paid to say that either.
Well, thank you. But he can do some things with the football that it's just kind of amazing to me. And I think he could be the second best quarterback in this class, in my opinion. So Nick, you took Devontae Smith at 107. I feel like that's a smash draft and great value for you. Tell me a little bit more about kind of what your thought process was there.
Well, I wanted Zach Wilson. I had my fingers crossed, and the early snipe happened. So I just went with the next best guy. Love Ja'Marr Chase, but I thought Devonta was an ideal pick for that spot.
Yes, sir. And then Marco, you took Rashad Bateman at the 110 ahead of Kyle Pitts. Yeah, I'm intrigued.
It was a tough choice because those two guys are really neck and neck for me. I think Pitts has some pretty crazy upside, but I think Rashad Bateman is he's a really close to the wide receiver 3 in this class for me. And I think in a dynasty draft, if I'm a team that's looking for an impact now, I think Rashad Bateman can make an impact immediately. I think Pitts has the ability, but you know, there's a little bit of what goes on with tight end and dynasty. And so I think it's neck and neck with those two, but I leaned Bateman just because he is pretty high on my list. He's wide receiver 4 for me, but just barely wide receiver 4.
Gotcha. I like that. And I think Bateman's going to be a really, really good player. So I really like that. I'm just shocked to see Kyle Pitts go at the 111. Josh, you are currently on the clock with the first pick in the second round. With the last pick in the first round, you took Rondale Moore, the speedy little athlete out of Purdue. I'm hoping I'm not screwing that up. And I love that pick too. That's extremely good value for someone who's a top 5 receiver in this class.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I don't know if you want to like maybe pause the draft real fast just as I talk. I don't want to miss my pick. And maybe we could sum up the round too. I don't know. But I love Rondale Moore. Some people out there seem to be concerned, you know, with his size, with his injuries. He's just so amazing once he gets the ball in his hands. I get it. He's short. He's 5'7", 5'8" about, but he has a thick frame for, you know, a shorter guy. I mean, so that excites me. You know, I think that can lead to success in the NFL. I mean, I would be willing to say the best wide receiver after the catch could be Rondale Moore, maybe next to Ja'Marr Chase. I don't know.
I don't
maybe
hate
saying too much. And then we look at his pro day they just had, and man, did he have a pro day. Crazy vertical, crazy bench, crazy 40 time. I'm excited about him, and I'm about to pick someone else that I would definitely pick in front of Rondale Moore.
Okay.
But just at like, so it was already brought up, because there's a few quarterbacks, a few computers picking in this draft.
Yeah.
There's some quarterbacks that might've gone.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. So to recap the first round, we have Trevor Lawrence at the 101, Najee Harris at the 102. I think that's pretty realistic. Travis Etienne, at the 103. Jamar Chase at the 104, Justin Fields at the 105, Zach Wilson at the 106, Devontae Smith at the 107, Jalen Waddle at the 108, Javonte Williams at the 109, Rashad Bateman at 110, Kyle Pitts at 111, and like we just talked about, Rondale Moore at the 112. So before we get started with round two, I'll just throw this out to all of you, and any of you that want to can jump in. Does anyone here scream value to you, and why? I've got two answers in my mind. I want to see if you guys agree with me.
Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts.
Yeah,
yep. That was first one to stick out to me.
I think in
most drafts, he's probably going to go more than middle of the first.
Yeah. So especially because I think we were talking about this pre-show, Superflex usually has tight end premium attached to it. So I would be shocked to see Pitts make it out of the top six picks. If that's the case, worst case scenario, I think he's going 108. So getting him at 111, with the computers in this thing, that's smashing value. Anyone else stick out to you? Nick, Marco, anybody?
Call me, but I'm going to say it anyways. I think both Fields and Wilson, I think they're going to go before 5 and 6. I think at least one of them is going to go in the 2-3 range.
I was going to say the same thing. They both go 2-3.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So the one name that you guys haven't mentioned that I think is pretty good value is Javonte Williams at 9. Now, I know it's super flex, but still getting hit the second or third best running back at the 9th pick in the draft, that's huge, huge value to me. So I love that. And I think today was his pro day and he ran like a 4.5, which that's perfect to me. You're not expecting Javonte to be a burner with his style of play. And if you can get him at the 109, that means contending team most likely, and you just got the third best running back. Hell yeah, let's go.
I think Javonte, he could go as early if this is a super flex, and if it was if it wasn't tight end premium, I think the earliest I could take Javonte would be like maybe 106, 107. Yeah. But I mean at 109, that's a solid spot.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, Josh, start us off. 2.01. Who are you taking?
So this one is pretty easy for me, actually. I would probably still take him over who I picked in the first round, Rondale Moore. I think there's a good chance he's a top 10, top 5 pick maybe in the NFL draft, and I'm going to go with Trey Lance here.
Oh, interesting.
Second time you've taken him today in a mock draft.
Exactly. I love him from a fantasy perspective. He can run the ball just as well. I mean, he's probably 1B to 1A Fields is running ability. He can make every throw on the field. He's not always going to make the throw because he's not the most accurate quarterback in the world. But we saw quarterback accuracy issues out of Josh Allen and other quarterbacks mm-hmm. that have succeeded in the NFL. So I think he's going to be a good NFL player.
No, I like that. And again, shout out to mine and Nick's website at the Fantasy Football Astronauts film room. You can watch Trey Lance and lots of games for him on our film room. So I cannot see because I'm blind as a bat. Marco, you took Elijah Moore. I love that. Talk to me about Elijah Moore, Marco.
Yeah, so I mean, to me, Elijah Moore is going to be a perpetual value because there's not a lot of guys who have gone in front of him that you can take after him, I guess. I would actually be okay taking Elijah Moore over Rondale Moore. And I'd probably be okay taking him over Kenneth Gainwell. But otherwise, in a super flex league, there's not too many guys ahead that I would have taken him ahead of. But when I look at Elijah Moore, I mean, he's athletically performed much better than people expected. I mean, with the pro day system, right, this year, we don't really know how seriously we need to take that. But the thing that separates him, and I mean, everyone's talking about this right now, is his insane route running.
Yeah.
So he's been one of my favorite wide receivers for a while now. And I've actually got him as my wide receiver five in this class. And so I was pumped to get him here. But like I said, this is going to be where he falls a lot of the time.
Yeah, no, and his route running is, it's delicious, to be completely
honest. Shane, just so you know, you're on the clock.
I do. I'm about to pause it.
Just wanted to make sure you knew.
Thanks for that.
It's easy to get caught up. And I like what Justin said in the chat. He said he was all in on Bateman until Marco liked him.
LOL. I've got to get better at
it. And also, Jordan's in the comments saying more to Carolina for the Curtis Samuel role. I mean, that would be awesome. That would really
We don't need another player with the last name Moore in Carolina, though.
That's true.
That would be so flipping confusing. That would be that would be rough.
I'm just reading the comments now. I love it.
Yeah, I just saw them too. So I'll work on getting those out a little better. it is my first live stream as a host, so I do.
You're doing great, my brother.
You're killing it. So, but no, Marco, just to hit on Elijah Moore just for a quick second, his route running is absolutely filthy. It's probably my favorite skill of his other than his speed, and it's just, I mean, he's so freaking good at route running. Okay, Nick, you took Tylan Wallace. There's some receivers that one of them I'm about to take, just as a heads up, but there's some receivers that you took him ahead of. Talk to me about Tylan Wallace and why you're clearly so high on him.
Similar to Marco, he was, aside from the five studs that were taken in the first round, he was my next best player available. I love Tylan Wallace. Everything about him. Great hands, great receiver. Little injury concerns coming out of school, which suck, but he's one of my favorite guys in this draft, and to get him where I got him, I'm pretty happy with.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so I'm going to resume the draft so I can pick.
And don't take my guy, Shane.
I might be about to take your guy. We'll see.
Take it.
There we go. Amon-Ra St. Brown is my pick. And then the computer took Michael Carter.
You did not take my guy.
Okay, good. I love Amon-Ra St. Brown. I've talked about it on previous pods and in certain guest spots. I feel like after, I'll call it the first five of Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Rondale Moore, and Rashad Bateman, I would say that's kind of a tier for me. But then the guys that come in, and Mark or Dan, I'm going to pause it so we can chat. Sure. The guys that come in next for me are Elijah Moore, Terrence Marshall, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Seth Williams, De'Ami Brown, and there's one more I feel like I'm forgetting. I can't remember if I said Terrence Marshall, so Terrence Marshall in there too. I think those guys are all basically interchangeable. And because we're doing this pre-landing spot, landing spot could change that and put people up or down just a little bit, not a ton, but maybe solidify those rankings for me. So I love getting Amon-Ra St. Brown here in the middle of the second round. And Superflex, I feel like that's a really, really good value on him. So that's my pick. And then Jay, you took Terrence Marshall, like we just talked about. He's in that same tier for me. So talk to me about your boy Terrence Marshall.
You thought I was going to snipe you. I did. Basically exactly what you said. I feel like Marshall, Carter, St. Brown, Wallace, those guys are all kind of in the same tier, right below the the top tier, the first round guys, and I'd be happy with any one of those. And basically, he was the last one left for my tier. I feel like there's a drop off after those guys, so it was an easy pick for me.
Very good. He is one that I'm lower on.
Well, you're wrong.
That tier, I will admit that I haven't studied him enough to know why I'm lower on him, but he's just one that I'm not super high on. Dan, I started the clock, so you are on the clock for the last pick in the second round.
And then we'll recap. Sup, JL?
Thank you.
Yeah, little pod inception there, Nick, with your
had to do it.
Telling it, yeah.
I saw it in the comments. The sup, Nick.
All right, I'm going to pause it again. Dan, you took Trey Sermon.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting pick to me.
I did.
Why?
Because all my guys are gone, so give it a little bit. You back up.
Yeah, so why Trey Sermon here, Dan?
I just think out of the remaining running backs, you know, like the guys have been saying, there's a clear tier drop. And after I took my second quarterback, because it's a super flex, and Mac Jones was the last like quarterback that I really cared about. I think that Trey Jones is going to be solid. I think he's being a little undervalued right now. You know, he's not like the sexy name like a Jamar Jefferson would be at this current spot. But I like his ability, what he did at Ohio State. And I think there's a spot for him at the next level.
Yeah, totally. And I totally goofed and realized that Trey Sermon was your first pick of the third round. Mac Jones was your last pick of the second round. And I like that a lot. I think that's a really good value, especially for the fifth quarterback in a super flex draft.
Mm-hmm. Value.
Yeah.
I almost took him in it with my second round pick.
So. I almost took him too, but I was like, I can't take all the quarterbacks. That's no fun.
You can. But Jane doesn't care about fun.
And I really like St. Brown, so I didn't want to take him. So, Dan, I'm going to circle back. Talk to me about Mac Jones and what, like, is that just a smash draft for you just because of positional value?
Yeah, 100%. At the end, at the 212, having the last quarterback that's, you know, that's projected to have some kind of starting role in the near future, it's just too much value there to pass up, no matter how I felt about anyone else.
Yeah, I totally agree. So let's recap the second round, even though we've already started the third round. Okay, so Josh, you took Trey Lance at the 201. Kenneth Gainwell went at the 202. Marco took Elijah Moore at the 203. Computer and Computer took Brevin Jordan and Pat Freiermuth. Nick Sarnelli took Tylan Wallace. I took Amon-Ra St. Brown. Computer took Michael Carter at the 208. I like that. Jay, you took Terrence Marshall. Computer took Kadarius Toney. Computer took Chuba Hubbard. And then Dan, like we just talked about, you took Mac Jones. There's one pick on here, and it was a computer. So well, there's three picks on here that were computer that I'm like, okay, let's throw that out. But one of those I think could actually be real, and that's Kadarius Toney. How do you guys feel about Kadarius Toney? Is he in that tier with those guys that we talked about, or is he a tier below?
Super polarizing player, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't trust him.
I think Toney.
I don't.
What was that?
He's going to have to go to an ideal landing spot. I think he's more of a good player. I look at him more as a weapon. He's not somebody I'm jumping up and down about in the second round right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think Toney and, as much as Nick might hate me, Tylan Wallace are in a similar tier to me beneath everybody else who was drafted in the first two rounds. I'm not a Tylan Wallace guy, but I know Tony's getting a ton of hype. Like, a lot of people are thinking he could sneak into the first round of the NFL draft. And, man, I don't see anything special with Toney. I think he's fine. He could be okay, but I don't see special.
No, I'm kind of with you on that, Marco. I think he's a fast, athletic player, but there's nothing more to him to me than that. I could almost this is going to sound bad because I really like the player that I'm about to potentially comp him to. So take this with a grain of salt, but I see him similar to Curtis Samuel, or how Curtis Samuel should be used. But I think Samuel's loads more talented. So he's Curtis Samuel light, if you will.
I don't hate it.
And, I don't know, like in the second round that I'm not looking for that. So, anybody else you think went way too early or went way too late?
You know, I would just want to say, I just want to defend Nick here. I like Tylan Wallace. I think he's going to have to go to the right team. But he's a good after the catch guy. So I don't know. I like him. I think this is around where we will see him go.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, I think he will go right around this spot. Mm-hmm. He's just not one of my guys right now.
I get it.
Yeah, I do too. Love Tylan Wallace.
So does your boy CFNP, Chris Parsons. Shout out. okay. So we've already started the third round. Dan, you took Trey Sermon. We talked about that a little bit. Computers mm-hmm. took Ramondre Stevenson and Kylan Hill. Jay, that puts you on the clock. I'm going to start your timer so you can make a pick, sir. And you took Jamar Jefferson. I kind of like that, and I feel like that's really good value. And then the computer right after you took Deami Brown. That puts me on the clock. Nick should know who I'm about to draft.
Seth Williams.
Seth Williams.
Shocker.
So
he went to Alabama, right?
Oh, my God. Okay, Dan.
And there goes Dan.
I'm out. So
I wanted Seth Williams.
I am sorry. If you're in a draft with me, I have never taken Seth Williams this late in a draft. If that tells you how I feel about him. The only reason I did it is because it's super flex and St. Brown fell to me at the 2-7. I think Seth Williams is a first or second round wide receiver from a talent standpoint, but you're probably going to be able to get him in the third for your drafts. Like I said, unless you're drafting with me. Okay, we can add Dan back now. Hey, Dan, how's it going? You're back from timeout. And Nick, you took Jarrett Patterson. I love that pick. I think he could be a sneaky player, especially because he's from a smaller school that does well. So why'd you take Jarrett Patterson here?
I thought the value was there. A lot of the other running backs I like went before. So for what was left, I thought he was just the best player available. Quality player. Hopefully he lands with a team that'll use him right.
Yeah. Do you have an ideal landing spot for him?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, no.
Anybody else got an ideal landing spot for Jarrett Patterson? Anybody? I know it's
who
a
needs
tough
a running
question
back,
on
right?
Spot. Yeah.
The Steelers, Atlanta.
Ooh, I actually, if the Steelers don't draft someone in round one or two, I kind of like Patterson as a late day two, early day three pick for the Steelers. I like that one a lot.
I mean, if they were to pass on running back with an earlier pick, maybe he just seems like he's got some moments that are nice, but he's otherwise seems pretty unspectacular. Like in the third round, yeah, of course, take him. Like,
yeah,
I don't see anything that's like an elite level guy where he's going to be able to carve out any sort of long term role.
Nothing that jumps off the page.
Right.
Yeah, totally. I mean, he did have like 7 touchdowns in one game, though. So, but to your point,
so did Mitch Trubisky.
It's one game. Hey, don't, you're a Bears fan, first off. Second off, don't you slander Mitch Trubisky on this show. I'm a Mitch Trubisky stan, and I don't know why, but I love Trubisky.
And you openly admit that.
None of us know why you are either.
Not really. Okay, Josh, you're on the clock.
How does this work?
You got 30 seconds. Do I need to pause it and restart it? Nope.
Oh, no, I got it. I know I'm picking. But you can pause it now if you want.
Yeah, I'm going to pause
now. The end of the round.
Okay. Very interesting third round to me. So we've got at the 301, Trey Sermon. 302, Ramondre Stevenson. 3-3, Kylan Hill. Love that. Jamar Jefferson, 3-4. Deami Brown, 3-5. Also love that. Seth Williams, 3-6. Jarrett Patterson, 3-7. Sage Surratt, 3-8. Doyne Eskridge, 3-9. Tamorian Terry at the 3-10. Frank Darby at the 3-11. And then Amari Rodgers at the 3-12. Okay. Anybody else notice a trend here?
There's wide receivers.
Yes. And there wasn't a single quarterback taken in a super flex draft. So that's very, very interesting to me.
I'm about to change that.
You're about to change that? Well, you were technically in round four, so.
I know. But, yeah.
So, there are some really good value picks in this round for me. Like, Deami Brown going at 3-5, that's kind of stealing to me. What do you guys think about him going that late?
100%, it's stealing for you know, where if he goes to the right situation, he can end up doing something in fantasy. So to get him at the 3-5, especially in front of like some of the guys that were taken before him, I would definitely love him at that spot all day. Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I would definitely take a Brown over Tony, especially at that spot.
Yeah. I would too. I think we might all be in consistency. I can't flip and talk. Jesus.
But I think
in the stream.
Shane, I think really like what we're seeing is like the mid end of the second through the third and really for the rest of this draft, a lot of these guys' value will be entirely determined, maybe too much determined, by where they go in the NFL draft. You know, like this is the part of the draft where really the only thing separating some of these guys is going to be opportunity or like scheme fits.
Yeah, totally. 100% agree with that, Marco. Just throwing up some comments. So one person that we didn't talk about in round two that I think could go in round three is Chuba Hubbard. I'm going to steal it. I think it's a game that Jay plays, on the pod with Upside. We're going to play the name game. So Chuba Hubbard or Kylan Hill? Nick, you first.
Chuba Hubbard.
Marco?
I go Kylan Hill.
Oh, tell me why.
I think what Chuba does is one thing, and it's speed. And he doesn't play, and he never played. I mean, he played in a conference where they didn't know how to tackle. So, like, watching him like get like these chunk runs is cool, but he's not going to be in space like that in the NFL. So I don't think he can't do it in the NFL, but I'm just very hesitant on him. And then Kylan Hill, I mean, he wasn't blow you like the stats off, you know, the door with the stuff that he was putting up, but I think he can do a lot of different things really well, and he was doing it against the SEC. I think he's a little bit more athletic than people give him credit for, and I think a lot of the things that he gets knocked for are really things that were a product of him playing on the team he played on in the SEC.
Yeah, totally. And I think this year especially, Marco, because they transitioned to Mike Leach's offense, like, that's not a running back friendly offense unless you're an exceptional pass catcher, which I think Kylan Hill is decent enough at pass catching.
I think he will be a pretty solid pass catcher in the NFL. I think that's another thing that will help him.
Totally. But I don't think that's a perfect fit for him scheme wise. So it made sense why he didn't have as good of a year.
Yeah. And I think really something with Hill too is if he can get his off the field or even in the locker room issues sorted out, he could be a steal in the NFL draft and in dynasty drafts.
Yeah. That's my buddy Justin from middle school and high school. He went to Mississippi State for, I think, 3 out of his 4 years in school. So throwing up a Hail State for us. Jay, Chuba Hubbard or Kylan Hill?
Kylan Hill, and basically exactly the same reasons that Marco said. So.
Wow, that's very interesting to me.
Do you guys know Chuba Hubbard's Canadian?
Oh, a little bit. There we go.
I
don't hit me.
You can hit him. It's fine.
Josh, Chuba or Kylan?
I would go Chuba personally. I understand the concerns with Chuba, but I think if he winds up in the right situation where they can utilize his skill set, I know you said speed. He's like that one cut kind of back, right? Like take it and go. Yeah. Man, he just has the, I think, I don't know. I could see Kalen. They both depend on where they land, but I would go Chuba at this point.
Okay. No, I honestly don't know which one I would take, to be completely honest with you. I like both of them, but I don't know if I had to pick who I would take. Chuba
kind of reminds me a little bit of like a Raheem Mostert with slightly more upside.
Yeah, okay. Sure. And think of where Raheem Mostert was getting drafted last year, you know? If he'll
not by me.
I know, but if Chuba Hubbard can get that value somehow, even close to that, I mean,
all I've learned from this draft is I need to do drafts where I'm right next to Josh because he never takes my guy.
You're welcome, sir. Hey, I think we did like 2 or 3 trades last time we did a draft. Am I wrong?
That's true.
Yeah. We're right next to each other.
That's all Marco does in drafts is trade.
Marco makes a godfather offer, too.
Marco,
godfather,
you're a beautiful, beautiful man.
I throw away future picks like they're Tic Tacs.
Yeah, you really, especially in the
really
personnel staff draft. Good Lord. Which you still need to fix that draft board, by the way.
I'll do what I do.
Daniel.
Yes.
Chuba Shane. Hubbard or Kylin Hill?
Kylin Hill. Pretty easily, to be honest.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I think Chuba has, you know, great speed, like we've all been saying, but he's not going to have the holes that he had at, you know, in college. So if when he doesn't have those holes, it's going to be hard for him to showcase that ability. Not saying he's not going to have those home run runs, because he is. But Kylin Hill is just more diverse, where if he can do more if he doesn't have that one thing. Yes, Jay and I actually agreed.
Dan stole my answer, basically.
Yeah, I don't think there's a player in college football who hurt his stock more than going back to school than Chuba.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kylin Hill might be a close second. Not a close second, but he's definitely in second place for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Chuba's going to be a
Chuba's got a cool name.
He does.
Okay, cool, so we're going to go.
That's the type of analysis you're going to get here. Cool.
Right. Name. He's got a cool name. He's Canadian, junior Olympian.
Yeah.
We're going to go rapid fire on this next one.
Bo is totally right. That's one of the most exciting things with Hill. He blows people up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go rapid fire on this name game. Chuba Hubbard or Diami Brown? Dan, go first.
Brown.
Okay. Josh.
Brown.
Okay. Jay.
Chuba.
Wow.
Incorrect.
Okay. I'm a running back. It's close, and I'm a running guy. So obviously, like we've said a million times already, it all depends on depends on landing spot for both guys. But
Jay just wanted to disagree with Dan.
I couldn't agree with him twice. But no, if the values are close, I'm the type of fantasy player that leans running back.
Okay. Marco.
100% everything Jay just said.
Wow. This is not going how I thought it would. Nick.
Don't hit me. Stop hitting me.
They're close enough, and running backs are difficult to find. Wide receivers aren't.
I mean, that's totally true. I am not disagreeing with you at all.
Marco knows what he's talking about.
Clearly. Nick, Diami Brown or Chuba Hubbard?
Chuba.
Wow. There it is.
Nick.
No, so hold on, Marco, pass this up.
Okay.
Pass it up to Nick for me.
I'll take it from you.
God. All right, pass it up. There we go.
Got it.
There we go. Cool. All right.
So I actually do have a pick on this one, and I'm taking Diami Brown.
Thank you.
I agree with what you guys said, but I think Brown's talent will outweigh any situation that Chuba lands in. I think Chuba's got to land in the right landing spot. I don't think Diami is as landing spot dependent.
I like what you just said a lot. I agree with what both Jay and Marco said regarding like going running back over wide receiver when the value is kind of equal, especially in a rookie draft. But I feel like that's more of like a rule for me in like the first and second round, you know? Hey, what's up, Z2? You know, when we get into the third round, which I think these guys are end up being third round picks when we get down to it, that's not really something I look at too much.
No, I like that. And like we mentioned, there was not a quarterback taken in round three. So I think that pushes some people's value down more. And obviously we've got computers picking, so that's screwing some of this up. But I still think that's probably close to when Chuba and Hill and Diami go. So I think close. This is it's going to be close. I think Diami will go first in a real draft, but we'll see.
Plus, right, I'm not going to pick the Tar Heel. It's just against, I can't do that. So.
Let's go, Heel!
That's because you're allergic to good players, Jay. You are a Duke fan.
And before I make this pick, just real fast, my last pick here, you know, I picked Amari Rodgers there, and I like Amari Rodgers real fast. You know,
I'm going to let you talk about that, and then we'll go back to Marco. So, yeah, talk about Amari Rodgers, because I think that's a really, really good pick.
Yeah. Like, I like that he's a slot guy. I don't really understand why there isn't a little bit more hype behind him. I don't know. He's on the shorter side, but he has a larger frame. And I talked about that earlier. I love, like, a shorter guy with a larger frame. He'll be a slot receiver in the NFL, but it looks like there's quite a few good slot receivers coming out in this class, right? So maybe that really does deter him from getting drafted higher. But as for all these guys around this area, it comes down to draft capital. But Amari Rodgers has really good hands and just seems like he could be NFL ready already.
Yeah, no, and that, I mean, getting him at the end of the third with how much talent he's got, I can't love that pick more, I don't think. Marco, we kind of passed over your pick, and I'm sorry, but Tamorian Terry, he's kind of become, we'll call it a polarizing player, I think, from what I've seen on Twitter, because physically and athletically, he's going to have everything. But he's got some really bad concentration drops and just not great intangibles, I guess. So talk to me about Tamorian Terry.
Yeah, well, it's actually cool we talked about Amari Rodgers first, because I was deciding between Amari Rodgers and Terry. And honestly, like, I don't really have too strong opinions about Terry. When I'm looking at him, like, we're in the third round, like, Ingo McGringleberry. No, like, we're in the end of the third round. I'm going for guys who I think have the body to at least sustain themselves in the NFL. Not that Amari Rodgers doesn't, but I think that Terry might be able to stick around in the NFL a little bit longer if he doesn't see immediate success, where Amari Rodgers, if he doesn't see immediate success, might be done pretty quickly. And I think I don't have strong opinions about either of the two. So I was like, I'm going to go with the big bodied guy. I like kind of what we've seen from him in flashes. And again, it's the third round. I'm going just with, you know, kind of gut feeling on these guys until we know where they land.
No, I love that. And it makes a lot of sense just because, like we talked about, Tamorian Terry, I think, is 6'3 or 6'4, 215, 220. He's a hoss. Like,
yeah, he's a big dude.
It's going to take a lot to bring him down if he can fix his technical issues and whatnot to make himself a better technical player. Then he could have all the success in the world. It's just going to be, does he want it and does he work for it to actually get that? And then landing spot, I think, will be huge for him as well.
Yeah.
All right, Josh.
Yes.
Lead us off.
I kind of hinted at this already, but, you know, he's going to be drafted in the third round, probably in a lot of super flex drafts. And I'm talking about Trask. I'm talking about the man, the myth, the legend, Kyle Trask. He went to Florida. He's a big guy, right? Look, when I get into the third and fourth rounds of a super flex dynasty rookie drafts, I'm always looking to load up on quarterback talent. You know, look at Jalen Hurts, for instance, you know, who no one really expected to be the starter anytime soon, and then the Eagles drafted him and he's the starter coming in this year, right? I'm not saying that Kyle Trask is Jalen Hurts, don't get me wrong.
You might want to be very, very clear on that.
I probably shouldn't have used that comparison. Maybe Trask is more like a Tom Brady, you know? Who knows? Really bad comparison, too. But Trask.
This on Twitter and say that Josh said that Trask is going to win the most Super Bowls by any quarterback in NFL history.
No, I'm gonna stop talking. No, I'm joking. But Trask is a big, you make a good point. I'm out. Right? he's not the best athlete in the world, and doesn't really even have a huge arm, which, you know, the NFL is looking for nowadays. But I could see him getting drafted and learning behind like an aging quarterback, maybe actually become a decent NFL starter one day. Maybe a team like the Patriots. I don't know.
A third string guy for the Bills, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I digress.
Bo Savage. Okay, Marco, you took, I think it's Cornell Powell. Again, my eyes are older than my body. Yes, Cornell Powell. I've seen some hype recently for him, and I'm in a Devy startup draft right now, and he has been
roped me into.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm doing in a Devy draft.
But Cornell Powell's name has started to come up in the rounds that we're in, and we're not even that deep in their startup. But talk to me about Cornell.
I
don't know a lot about him.
He's a guy out of Clemson. I mean, he's a senior, so I mean, he's a little bit older, but I think he's just one of those guys who does a lot of things pretty decent. And so I think he's going to be a role player on an NFL team as his floor. I really do. I see a lot of high football IQ with Powell. And I think if he lands in a system that maybe has a little bit more opportunity available in year one or year two, he could end up being a really surprise guy that you land in the end of the third, early fourth. He plays bigger than he is. I mean, he's 6 foot. I don't know his weight. I might say it on Sleeper. 6'2", 210, but he plays a little bit bigger than that. And like I said, he just shows high football IQ. And really, if it's a wide receiver coming out of Clemson who shows high football IQ, like, I'm all in on that kind of player, especially when you're going and shooting darts in the fourth round. So yeah, I like Powell. I like his upside. And if he lands somewhere, even with a little bit of opportunity, I think he's going to establish a role.
Totally. So the next pick after you, Marco, was Javian Hawkins out of Louisville. And then Anthony Schwartz. I want to talk about these two before we get to your pick, Nick. Javian Hawkins is someone who I've been studying on the film room, and I like him a lot. So seeing him go in the fourth round is shocking. Nick, I'm going to throw this to you. What do you think of that spot in this draft for Javian Hawkins?
I actually think it's appropriate. I think he's a good player, but I think where he was drafted is where he will go in a lot of drafts.
Gotcha. Anybody else know much about him? I think he's a really shifty player. It's Louisville, so it's like, okay, what you gonna do for me? But there's just something about him I've liked when I've done some film study.
Yeah, I haven't watched a ton on him, but I think a lot of these guys who are, especially the running back position, who are, you know, right now graded out around rookie third or fourth round picks. Like I said earlier, like, we're not going to know a real value for them for a little while.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a guy, I'm totally brain farting his last name, and I don't know how I even am forgetting his last name, because it's a guy I like holding onto in Dynasty. JJ, somebody finish his last name. JJ.
Zachary.
Running back, Patriots.
Taylor.
He reminds me a little bit of JJ Taylor. And that's not great, because a lot of people
I hope you're not trying to say that as a positive.
No. And the weird thing is, like, I like JJ Taylor. I thought he was going to do something, but I think that's just like the fantasy and college fan in us that think some of these smaller guys who are going to get not the greatest draft capital are going to eventually find a way to make a big impact. The reality is they're most likely not going to. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with the draft with him.
Cause we're all close to their height.
If I jump, I'm short, man.
You and me
both. Too, Marco. Me too.
Okay, so next, I wouldn't be doing my fandom I would be doing my fandom a disservice if I didn't talk about this next player before we get to your pick, Nick. Anthony Schwartz. He is literally track speed fast. He broke the record in junior high for the 100 meter dash. He ran a 10.7 or something like that in high school and college. He is super, super fast and is going to be a weapon for whoever drafts him. You're going to be able to get him late, depending on where he lands. But I love this pick, even though it's the computer. I think it's the totally appropriate pick. Okay, I can stop fanboying about Anthony Schwartz. Anybody have anything to add?
Yeah, Marco, how tall are you? Because the chat wants to know. 5'1".
6'1".
5 foot? 5 foot five? Good. All right, I'm taller than somebody. I'm 5'7". There we go. Now all the short jokes can go to Marco.
No, they're still taking
them. No, it's fine.
Yeah. All right.
Marco doesn't exist on Twitter anymore.
So. No,
I'm paranoid too.
For Anthony Schwartz, I think that people are going to be like taking a shot on him and just like crossing their fingers that they get Tyreek Hill light. Honestly,
yeah, and that's probably a really good comparison for him. Honestly, Dan, he's just as fast, and that, I mean, he's literally proven that he's just as fast. So if he gets in the right situation and can develop, you're killing it with that value.
Is it just me, or do I feel like there are a lot of Tyreek Hill lights in this class? You know, like, I'm not going to say it. I know none of us are saying that.
I feel like,
no,
anybody that's fast, all of a sudden, Tyreek Hill light.
When people probably
also, Nick, thank you for sniping me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Nick, you literally sniped me one pick before, you jerk.
I feel like every speed guy should probably get more comp to like Andy Isabella, but instead they get Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. John Ross.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, New John York Ross. Giant John Ross. Yeah.
I think in terms of the speed guys, I think Schwartz definitely has somewhat better route running than some other speed guys in this class. So I think, you know, it's easy to say anyone with speed is a Tyreek Hill light, but I think he can do a little more than that with his route running.
Yeah, Z2 throws out DeSean Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyreek Hill is more than just speed, right? He's explosive, short, and like, but it's the explosiveness that makes Tyreek Hill, I feel like, more than the speed. And there's a lot of guys that are extremely explosive in this class. So it makes sense why we're seeing it a lot, I think. But
yeah.
So
his acceleration is why he does as good as he does, because he can catch the ball and then just outrun everyone. It's a 5-yard pass and throw it 95 yards.
Yeah. To answer your question, Justin, I am 5'7", 5'8".
God, you guys are short as hell.
Okay, Dan, you're going back in timeout.
See you, Dan. I think you guys are a perfect size.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah.
My heart.
That's why you're my favorite on FYF. Just don't tell Simon and JL.
I won't. And I think JL is here, but whatever.
He is.
Justin Patton likes to make that joke to me because he's 6'4", and until like 8th or 9th grade, we were the same height. And then he came back from summer, and it was like, holy crap, what happened to you?
That sucks.
So, yeah, for me.
Well, yeah. I don't mean it sucks. It just, that's crazy. It doesn't suck. Yeah.
No, I'm jealous. Okay, so we'll put Dan back in. Nick, you sniped me and Jay with taking Kellen Mond in a super flex draft. I love getting a quarterback in the 4th round. So talk to me about Kellen Mond, you thief.
I love the value here. He's somebody I actually think is going to have to sit and learn a little. I think his decision making isn't the greatest, but his arm talent's legit. And what everybody watching doesn't know is Dan Turner considered taking him at the 101. So that gave me every reason to take him right now.
I did. You caught me.
Love it.
Yeah, it's a great pick.
Yeah, I think he's also going to go, or I'm hoping he goes to somewhere with maybe an older established quarterback. Or something like that, where he can, kind of like you said, Nick, sit and learn for a year, because then I think he can really develop and take over if he can develop just a couple of things. So I'm going to hit resume so I can actually make my pick. I'm going to go wide receiver heavy here and go with De'Ami Brown's teammate, Daz Newsome. He actually ran a much slower 40 today than I was expecting, but just watching the film of the two of them, it was very interesting to see how they played off of each other. And I think that getting him in the 4th round, obviously, like Marco has been saying, landing spot dependent is going to change that, but getting him in the 4th round is a really good spot for him, because he's someone to me who's more established than like your smaller school guys or something like that. That's kind of more of a flyer. He seems a little more established in what he produced in college.
I love the way we ended this draft, by the way, guys. Not the computers, they suck, but us, we did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Jay. That was who I was thinking about over Powell for a second.
Nico Collins, Jay. Yes. You also just took him in that Devy draft that we're in.
Yeah.
So you clearly like Nico Collins.
I love that pick for him.
He's good.
Tell me why.
Oh,
I'm not singing, Shane. I love you. I'm not singing.
No,
you know, he's got the size to play in the NFL. He's got the physicality. Still needs to work on his route tree. Struggled a little bit against press coverage, but he's another guy that I think that if he would have played this year, we'd be hearing a lot more people talk about him. I think it's actually going to work in his benefit. You know, going potentially day 3, going in a lot better chances of going into a situation where he can contribute from day 1. I would actually, now that it doesn't look like the Giants will take a wide receiver in round 1, I would be ecstatic if we could get him later in the draft, because Sterling Shepard is not a wide receiver too. But that's another story for another day.
Ooh.
Ka-chow!
Damn.
I actually agree with Jay there. Nico would be a perfect fit on the Giants. With his size, you know, he'll be able to catch all those Daniel Jones ducks that he throws around.
I was about to say, I knew there was a backhanded compliment coming.
I was agreeing with you. I agree. There's a good place for him.
And with his size, too, you know, he could, from day one, he can contribute as a red zone threat. And then as he continues to develop, he's still raw. So as he continues to develop, you know, maybe he could be one of those mid-round wide receivers that turns into something productive.
Well, he's got a high ceiling. He's a freak athlete, too. Yes. He just had his pro day, and he crushed it.
Yeah.
Move him up the board.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, why is Nico Collins going in the fourth round? Like, we're talking about, we all love him. Maybe it's because he is this late, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, Dan.
Yes.
Last pick of the draft, you took Dimitric Felton.
I did.
He's someone who I've kind of started to hear a little more rumblings about. So, why him over some of the other guys that were still available?
I've actually, you know, he's been a favorite of mine for a long time. He's always going late in drafts. He's a smaller running back. He's only like 5'8", you know, a 195 or something. But he's good at both running and receiving. You know, he can carry the ball, and he's really good at catching the ball. He's not like the quickest guy or the shiftiest, but he's definitely can definitely, you know, get that third down back roll and solidify it in the NFL, which will be great for fantasy. I think he's a kind of a lesser version of what Darren Sproles was on the Eagles. Okay. Where they got him some carries, you know, but he's definitely not as shifty as he was, but he could definitely, you know, have that role for a team.
Gotcha. No, I love that. Okay. So recapping the last round of our draft, we've got Kyle Trask at the 4-1. Computer took Tutu Atwell. Marco took Cornell Powell. Computer took Javian Hawkins, and then Anthony Schwartz. Nick took Kellen Mond, like Chris Kyle, as a sniper. I took Daz Newsome. Elijah Mitchell went at the 408. Nico Collins went at the 409. Shai Smith went at the 410. Jamie Newman at the 411. And Dan, with the last pick of the draft, took the 412.
And Dan, I got to tell you, I was considering him, but I wanted to get a quarterback in the fourth.
I got you. Actually, I was just going to ask you, what do you think about Amari Rodgers getting some running back drills and in Clemson's pro day?
Oh, I mean, why not, right? I mean, again, like, there's all these explosive, smaller slot kind of guys that I think the NFL nowadays is kind of built to move them around the field, like kind of a Curtis Samuel. We love using him as an example, right? So, you know, just like showing what you can do.
Yeah, throw that
yes. in there. Just showing what you're able to do is going to just send you up draft boards.
I thought that was interesting that he chose then to do those drills. I thought that really, I think it helped them out a little bit, you know, both in real NFL and fantasy wise, if he goes to the right situation.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Okay. Before we wrap up, and kind of move into the last part of the pod, what I want to do while we've still got the board up is ask you guys each, who's your favorite prospect? I don't care what position they play, but who's your favorite prospect to watch? Or who's actually, no, we'll change it up. Sorry. Who's the one prospect you guys are going to make sure that you do not leave a draft without? So,
man.
Yeah, that's a good one. Josh, you want me to come to you last?
Yeah. I got a couple of guys in mind now. Yeah, they're changing a little bit.
All right. Wait, Nick.
Who'd you say, Dan?
Nick hadn't said anybody, but we're going to start with Nick. No pressure. Who's the one person you're making sure you leave your drafts with?
Jamar Chase. Easy.
He was my answer for the first kind of question and still considering him for the second.
That's a cop out.
He is my legit favorite player in this draft. I thought he was one of the best receivers in last year's draft had he came out. Kid's a freak. Yeah. I think he's going to be awesome in the NFL. I'm excited for him. Excited to draft him as much as I possibly can.
No, I love that. He's so, so talented. Okay, Marco, who's your one player you're making sure you leave your drafts with?
Well, I mean, my dream answer would be Najee Harris. I mean, that guy, I mean, he's so special. Like, I don't think people are talking about how special he is enough. Like, he is going to be an absolute workhorse in the NFL. So I'm really excited about him, but I won't go too long because obviously he's going to be gone really early. But outside of Najee, it's the guy I took in the draft. I think Elijah Moore, I think you're going to get him at a phenomenal value. You're going to almost always get him near the top of the second or be able to in the top of the second. Najee. And with that kind of draft capital that you're going to have to spend on him, he could end up being a wide receiver two with upside pretty quickly for your team. So I'm all in on Elijah Moore. And then there's another guy I want to say, but I'll wait to see if anyone else says it.
Okay. We'll come back to you last.
Must be Tylan Wallace.
Bingo, Tylan Wallace.
Hey, who you leave, making sure you leave drafts with?
I love Previn Jordan. You know, I'm not going to go with the high pick like everybody else. I'm going to not take the easy way out, but, if Kyle Pitts wasn't in this draft, I think everybody would be drooling over Previn Jordan. He's not, you know, he doesn't have quite the upside that Kyle Pitts does, but the cost that you're going to have to spend on him, the draft capital is going to be nowhere near. And he does have a lot of upside. He's a freak. You know, he can break tackles. He's fast. I mean, he can jump over guys. I want him pretty much everywhere I can get him, especially for the price that you're going to have to pay.
All right. I'm going to skip you, Josh. Dan, who's the one person?
I'm still struggling.
Who is the one person you are making sure that you leave drafts with?
So this is a bit of a deeper dive, but I'm going to go with Jarrett Patterson. You know, I love him. You know, I've watched some tape on him, but I think he's going to do really well. You know, he's going in the back half of a lot of drafts, and I think he has like the potential to definitely outplay a lot of the guys that are going above him. So I'm definitely making sure that I, you know, in the third, fourth round, definitely using a pick to pick him up there.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right, Josh, no pressure.
And I hope you didn't say that him already because you drafted him, but it did you say Seth Williams?
No, but that was going to be my pick.
Because, like, I was really upset when you drafted, and I thought there was a very good chance he was going to make it to the back end of the third. And,
oh,
you know,
no, not with me in the draft.
So if he's going at a second round value, I'm probably not going to walk away from every draft with him, unfortunately. But if he's going at a third round value, I'm walking away every draft with him. So Seth Williams, but I'll change my answer just so you can have him. And you know, if
that. You're a good friend like that
in a super flex league, if you could get Javonte Williams with the late first round pick, I love Javonte. I think he's my favorite running back out of maybe even more than Najee, but they're close.
How do I boot people?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you can do it. I feel free.
He's in timeout. Okay.
You can't put Josh in timeout.
It's okay. It's okay.
Josh was nice enough to give me mine. So mine's Seth Williams, clearly. I love this guy. I'm an Auburn fan. I'm not ashamed to say that or put my bias aside. But watching Seth Williams, I think he's has the potential to be a rock star alpha wide receiver in the NFL. He's got to land in the right spot for me to do so, because I do think there might be some, we'll call it attitude concerns for me. But I also, because I watched Auburn almost every game this year, I know that there were some reasons for it this year. And I'm hoping that with getting paid and having that motivation to continue to get paid, you're going to have to work for it. I think Seth Williams will be totally fine in the NFL. But landing spot's going to be huge for him, but I'm leaving every draft with him. I will take him in the second round, even in Superflex. I'm going to take him early because I want him.
Now, you know, you have to take
your guy
if you draft him with me though.
Yeah. So Marco, you had a sleeper one for us and an additional one. Who is it?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna audible and I'm gonna not answer your question in another way. ready. Okay. If we're not talking super flex, my perfect draft, if you're an early pick in the draft, ready? Yeah. Najee, Elijah Moore, Kylan Hill.
No, I love that.
I love those three. And then, you know, if you're pulling a Marco and you want to trade up and go get St. Brown, go get yourself some St. Brown.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So, I love Bateman, depending on what the spot he goes to. If Bateman can go to a spot with like a good quarterback in the late first round, that'd be he'd be close to Chase, honestly, depending on the spot he goes to.
Wow. I almost chose Bateman as my guy. It just, wow. Yeah.
Marco, what kind of bourbon are you drinking?
I just got Bullet Bourbon.
You want Bullet? Is that your favorite?
It's just the easiest, yeah. Easiest to get around here.
So you want to bet Wallace versus Moore?
Tylan Wallace versus Elijah Moore?
Yep.
I'm totally down. Let's do it.
A bourbon right. bet.
All right.
Wow. All righty. So for those of you that didn't hear it or weren't paying attention, Nick Sarnelli and Marco just bet a bottle of bourbon.
I was going to say, you're going to say my last name?
He said mine.
Well, yours is in your hand.
Yours is written right there, yeah.
Do you not know his...
We need some clarity, gentlemen. What's the actual bet here? Tylan Wallace finishes above Moore and
that's
and
what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Like in
year one, scoring.
What do you say, Marco?
Just rookie season finish.
Drafted high.
Entire career.
Rookie season finish.
Rookie season finish.
We're gonna
okay.
catch up in 15 years. 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, you still haven't paid the water bet to me, so I figured that's how long it takes for you to pay a bet.
That's fair. Shade. That's fair. Shade.
So.
We got to go to FYF for that.
I'm going on Friday, so.
Hey, come on over. Everyone can come. FYF every day at 3 o'clock. Get in there.
All right, gentlemen. I'm going to roll through some tickers real quick just so everyone can see it. But make sure you follow the Fantasy Football Astronauts on Twitter, FF_astronauts. Go to our website. Check out the film room. It's the best free resource on the internet for watching film. You can also find stuff on our YouTube channel. Just search the Fantasy Football Astronauts and you'll find everything that's in the film room on YouTube also. And then lastly, make sure you check out the full website where you can find this stream. You can find our other podcast episodes, the film room, articles written by Mr. Sarnelli and our other writers. And then we've recently released Astro merch. So if you want to get some cool swag with astronauts on it in a hat or a hoodie or a t-shirt, shout out to our partners nice.
at
Viridian. You can get that on our website. And then lastly, you guys, I couldn't have done the inaugural live stream without you guys. You helped me pre-show. You're all really close friends of mine, so thank you for coming on. We're going to run through it again. Tell us where they can find you, and if you want to shout anything you're working on, shout it out. So
biceps. Nick,
lead us out.
You can find me at Nick Sarnelli on Twitter, and right now I'm just helping out doing some grading for the Astros rookie guide.
Very cool. Marco, what you working on?
You can follow me on Twitter at Marco_14P. You can find all my work. I'm actually in a couple places, but primarily over at 14 Personnel, 14personnel.com, or over at our YouTube at 14 Personnel Pod. And we're releasing tons of stuff over there. And then I got some articles and stuff coming out for Dynasty Nerds as well.
Gotcha. Josh.
Hey. you can find me on Twitter at FYF Josh. I'm part of Front Yard Fantasy. We're the best. No, I'm joking. But we do stream every day at 3 o'clock. You can find us on Twitter at Front Yard FYF, or just search Front Yard Fantasy on YouTube. And we're doing games and fun stuff and game shows and cool stuff like that. Yeah.
Yep. It's a fun time. You guys have tried to get me on. I know Jay and Dan and Marco have all been on. You've tried to get me on, but sales is not a fickle beast to try and work that schedule around. So maybe someday, but
one day we'll be so lucky.
You guys do a lot of good and fun work there. So Daniel Turner.
Yes.
Where can we find you and what are you working on?
That was a little sensual
the way you said that, by the way.
It was.
It was nice.
Find me at EagleDenFF on Twitter. I co-host Pod with Upside with this guy on the right.
You're so lucky. We even wore our team colors today. We did.
I'm also a senior writer at Roto Underworld. And I have my Dynasty, IDP, and Devi rankings now on Fantasy Pros.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just beat Josh and Horace on FYF.
Oh,
he did beat me. Fire. It was a close game, though. It was
close.
It was good. A good one. It was very good.
It was. I want to get you back on. I gotta get you back.
Yeah. All right, Jay. Last but not least, where can we find you, and what are you working on?
Well, first off, Shane, thank you for having me on in this group. We've all become pretty close, and to be the first ones on the very first show live stream is an honor, so thank you very much. You find me on Twitter at GmanJ. I am now also a writer at Roto Underworld. Woo-hoo. I, unfortunately, just kidding, I love that guy, a co-host with Dan on a podcast with Upside. Every other Thursday in the off season, we just had Troy King on. Next Thursday, we will have Laquan Jones, Real Deal Fantasy, LQ, as we like to call him. You can follow, we have a Twitter page for that podcast, Pod with Upside. And I am also a part of the FYF team. I think JL and I just discovered my title now is the Director of Stuff/Things. So that is my official title at FYF. So
it seems pretty accurate, actually.
Yeah. Did JL give you that title?
We kind of worked on it together. So I do have a question, though, Josh. What do you think about trading when it comes to fantasy football?
Well, I actually wanted to talk about this. Do we have a couple minutes?
yeah, you're good. Have at
trading
it.
Makes fantasy fun. I'm done. Thank you.
You want to know what that's all about? Watch Front Yard Fantasy every Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. and you'll understand.
That was You're the man, Jay.
Trading shout out to the squad. Okay, you can find me at FFShaneB. Clearly, I'm the co-host of this podcast. I also write for Marco over at 14 Personnel. Check out my Dynasty Sleepers, where I actually talked about JJ Taylor article, and then have a couple other articles out for them as well. Last but not least, I've got to shout out my fantasy tournament. Pauly's playoff is in the second year. We are trying to get to 240 teams this year. So
already signed up.
Sign up.
Me too.
It's a $10 donation directly to our team for the Walk to End Alzheimer's. If you want more details on why that's such an important cause to me, you can check out my pinned tweet. You can DM me, but just kind of give some insight. My wife's grandmother passed away in November of 2019 from Alzheimer's. So I had this Twitter not too long before that and built up a platform. So I finally had something that I could use that platform for and something that we really believe in and trying to help other people not have to go through the same things that we've had because it was terrible to watch my wife, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, all of them watch as the person that they knew and loved just kind of disappeared because of this awful disease. So if you can sign up for the tournament, it's pinned on my Twitter and we can help.
It's a lot of fun. Played last year. It was definitely a blast. And it's not your average league either. It's got a lot of fun different things.
It's super flex tiered PPR. So I'm a sucker for tiered PPR. If you're in a league with me that I'm commissioning, I am probably doing tiered PPR. So that's enough for that. Thank you guys again so much for coming on. This is the Fantasy Nightcap, where we serve you fantasy advice straight, no chaser.